Hutton propped herself on an elbow and looked down at Reacher's face. His eyes were still the same, set a little deeper, maybe, and a little more hooded, but they still shone blue like ice chips under an Arctic sun, like a color map of twin snowmelt lakes in a high mountain landscape. But their expression had changed. 14 years ago, they had been rimmed red by the desert sandstorms and clouded with some kind of bitter cynicism. They had been army eyes, cop eyes. She remembered the way they would swing, slow and lazy, across a room, like deadly tracers curling in toward a target. Now they were clearer, younger, more innocent. He was 14 years older, but his gaze was like a child's again.
You just had your hair cut.
This morning. For you.
For me?
Yesterday I looked like a wild man. They told me you were coming. I didn't want you to think I was some kind of a bum.
Aren't you?
Some kind, I guess.
What kind?
The voluntary kind.
We should eat.
Sounds like a plan.
What do you want?
Whatever you get, we'll share. Order big portions.
You can choose your own if you want.
He shook his head. A month from now, some DOD clerk is going to go through your expenses. Better for you if he sees one meal rather than two.
Worried about my reputation?
I'm worried about your next promotion.
I won't get one. I'm terminal at Brigadier General.
Not now that this Peterson guy owes you a big one.
One can't deny two stars would be cool.
For me, too. I got screwed by plenty of two stars. To think I screwed one myself would be fun. She made a face. Food.
I like salads.
Someone's got to, I guess.
Don't you?
Get a chicken Caesar to start and a steak to follow. You eat the rabbit food, I'll eat the steak. Then get some kind of a big dessert. And a big pot of coffee.
I like tea.
Can't do it. There are some compromises I just can't make, not even for the DOD.
But I'm thirsty.
They'll send ice water. They always do.
I outrank you.
You always did. You ever see me drink tea because of it? She shook her head and got out of bed, padded naked across to the desk, checked the menu and dialed the phone. Ordered chicken Caesar, a 16-ounce sirloin and a big pie with ice cream, and a 6-cup pot of coffee. Reacher smiled at her.
20 minutes,
she said.
Let's take a shower.
Raskin took the heart of downtown. He was on foot with the sketch in his hand and a list in his head. Restaurants, bars, diners, sandwich shops, groceries, hotels. He started at the Metropole Palace, the lobby, the bar. No luck. He moved on to a Chinese restaurant 2 blocks away. In and out, fast and discreet. He figured he was pretty good for this kind of work. He wasn't a very noticeable guy. Not memorable. Average height, average weight, unremarkable face. Just a hole in the air. Which in some ways was a frustration, but in others was a major advantage. People looked at him, but they didn't really see him. Their eyes slid right on by. Reacher wasn't in the Chinese place, or the sub shop, or the Irish bar, so Raskin stopped on the sidewalk and decided to dodge north. He could check the lawyer's office and then head toward the Marriott, because according to Linsky, those places were where the women were, and in Raskin's experience, guys who weren't just holes in the air got to hang out with women more than the average. Reacher got out of the shower and borrowed Hutton's toothbrush and toothpaste and comb. Then he toweled off and walked around and collected his clothes, put them on and tucked them in. He was dressed and sitting on the bed when he heard the knock at the door. "Room service," a foreign voice called. Hutton put her head out the bathroom door. She was dressed, but halfway through drying her hair. "You go."
"Me?"
"You have to sign for it."
"You can write my name."
2 hours from now, the cops won't have found me, and they'll come back here. Better that we don't have a guy downstairs who knows you're not alone.
You never relax, do you?
The less I relax, the luckier I get. Hutton patted her hair into shape and headed for the door. Reacher heard the rattle of a cart and the clink of plates and the scratch of a pen. Then he heard the door close, and he stepped through to the living room and found a wheeled table set up in the middle of the floor. The waiter had placed one chair behind it.
"One knife," Hutton said. "One fork, one spoon. We didn't think of that."
"We'll take turns," Reacher said. "Kind of romantic."
"I'll cut your steak up, and you can use your fingers."
"You could feed it to me. We should have ordered grapes." She smiled. "Do you remember James Barr?" he asked.
"Too much water over the dam, but I reread his file yesterday."
"How good a shooter was he?"
"Not the best we ever had. Not the worst."
"That's what I remember. I was just in the garage taking a look. It was impressive shooting. Very impressive. I don't remember him being that good."
"There's a lot of evidence there."
He nodded, said nothing.
"Maybe he's been practicing hard. He was in 5 years, but he's been out nearly three times as long. Maybe he was a late developer."
"Maybe."
She looked at him. "You're not staying, are you? You're planning on leaving right after dinner. Because of this thing with the cops, you think they'll come back to the room?"
"They will. Count on it."
"I don't have to let them in."
"A place like this, the cops will do pretty much what they want. And if they find me here, you're in trouble."
"Not if you're innocent."
"You've got no legitimate way of telling what I am. That's what they'll say."
"I'm the lawyer here."
"And I was a cop. I know what they're like. They hate fugitives. Fugitives drive them nuts. They'll arrest you along with me and sort it all out next month, by which time your second star will be in the toilet."
"So where are you going?"
"No idea. But I'll think of something." The street door at the bottom of the black glass tower was locked for the night. Ruskin knocked on it, twice. The security guard at the lobby desk looked up. Ruskin waved the sketch at him.
"Delivery," he mouthed.
The guard got up and walked over and used a key from a bunch on a chain to unlock the door. Ruskin stepped inside.
"Rodin," he said.
"Fourth floor." The guard nodded. The law offices of Helen Rodin had received plenty of deliveries that day. Boxes, cartons, guys with hand trucks. One more was to be expected. No big surprise. He walked back to his desk without comment, and Ruskin walked over to the elevator, got in, and pressed 4. First thing he saw on the fourth floor was a city cop standing outside the lawyer's door. Ruskin knew what that meant immediately. It meant the lawyer's office was still a live possibility, which meant Reacher wasn't in there at the present time and hadn't tried to get in there any time recently. So Ruskin wheeled around like he was confused by the corridor layout and headed around a corner, waited a moment, and then headed back to the elevator. He folded the sketch and put it in his pocket. In the lobby, he gave the guard a job-done type of wave and headed back out into the night, turned left and headed north and east toward the Marriott Suites. The 6-cup pot of coffee was more than even Reacher could manage. He quit after 5. Hutton didn't seem to mind. He guessed she thought 5 out of 6 justified his insistence.
"Come see me in Washington," she said.
"I will, for sure, next time I'm there."
"Don't get caught."
"I won't. Not by these guys." Then he just looked at her for a minute, storing away the memory, adding another fragment to his mosaic. He kissed her once on the lips and walked to the door, let himself out into the corridor and headed for the stairs. On the ground floor, he turned away from the lobby and used the fire door again. It swung shut and locked behind him, and he took a deep breath and stepped out of the shadows and headed for the sidewalk. Ruskin saw him immediately. He was 30 yards away, walking fast, coming up on the Marriott from the rear. He saw a flash of glass in the streetlight, a fire door opening. He saw a tall man stepping out, standing still. Then the door jerked shut on a hydraulic closer, and the tall man turned to watch it latch behind him, and a stray beam of light was reflected off the moving glass and played briefly across his face.
Just for a split second, like a handheld flashlight swinging through a fast arc, like a camera strobe. Not much, but enough for Raskin to be certain. The man who had come through the fire door was the man in the sketch. Jack Reacher. For sure. No question. Right height, right weight, right face. Raskin had studied the details long and hard. So he stopped dead and stepped backward into the shadows, watched, and waited. Saw Reacher glance right, glance left, and set out walking straight ahead, due west, fast and easy. Raskin stayed where he was and counted 1, 2, 3 in his head. Then he came out of the shadows and crossed the parking lot and stopped again and peered around the corner to the west. Reacher was 20 yards ahead, still walking, still relaxed, still unaware. Center of the sidewalk, long strides, his arms swinging loose at his sides. He was a big guy, that was for sure. As big as Vladimir, easily. Raskin counted to 3 again, and let Reacher get 40 yards ahead. Then he set out following. He kept his eyes fixed on the target, and fumbled his cell phone out of his pocket. Dialed Grigor Linsky's number. Reacher walked on, 40 yards in the distance. Raskin put the phone to his ear.
Yes?
Linsky said.
I found him, Raskin whispered.
Where?
He's walking. West from the Marriott. He's about level with the courthouse now, 2 blocks to the north.
Where is he going?
Wait. Hold on.
Reacher stopped on a corner, glanced left and turned right, toward the shadows under the raised highway, still relaxed. Raskin watched him across waist-high trash in an empty lot.
He's turned north.
Toward?
I don't know. The sports bar, maybe.
Okay. We'll come north. We'll wait 50 yards up the street from the sports bar. Call me back in 3 minutes exactly. Meanwhile, don't let him out of your sight.
Okay,
Raskin said. He clicked his phone off, but kept it up at his ear and took a shortcut across the empty lot, paused against a blank brick wall, and peered around its corner. Reacher was still 40 yards ahead, still in the center of the sidewalk, arms swinging, still moving fast. A confident man, Raskin thought. Perhaps overconfident. Linsky clicked off with Raskin and immediately dialed Chenko and Vladimir, told them to rendezvous 50 yards north of the sports bar as fast as possible. Then he dialed the Zek. We found him.
Where?
North part of downtown.
Who is on him?
Raskin. They're on the street, walking. The Zek was quiet for a moment.
Wait until he settles somewhere, and then get Chenko to call the cops. He's got the accent. He can say he's a bartender, or a desk clerk, or whatever.
Raskin stayed 40 yards back. He called Linsky again and kept the connection open. Reacher kept on walking, same stride, same pace. His clothes were dull and hard to see in the darkness. His neck and his hands were tan, but a little more visible, and he had a narrow stripe of pale skin around a fresh haircut, ghostly in the gloom. Raskin fixed his eyes on it. It was a white, U-shaped glow, 6 feet off the ground, alternately rising and falling an inch with every step Reacher took.
Idiot, Raskin thought. He should have used boot polish. That's what we'd have done in Afghanistan.
Then he thought,
not that we ever had boot polish or haircuts.
Then he stopped, because Reacher stopped 40 yards ahead. Raskin stepped back into his shadow, and Reacher glanced right and turned left into the mouth of a cross street out of sight behind a building.
He's gone west again,
Raskin whispered into the phone.
Still good for the sports bar?
Or the motor court?
Either one works for us. Move up a little. Don't lose him now.
Raskin sprinted 10 paces and slowed at the turn, pressed himself up against the corner of the building and peered around and stared.
Problem. Not with the view.
The cross street was long and wide and straight and lit at the far end by bright lights on the 4-lane that ran north to the highway, so he had an excellent view. The problem was that Reacher was no longer part of it. He had disappeared. Completely.